And I want to talk today precisely about a Hispanic perspective on preaching and postmodernity. The first question, of course, is, did the Hispanic community ever enter into the modern era? And there is a large debate in Latin America about that, and you can read a gazillion books about it. And basically, you have three positions. There are people who say that, no, we were never fully into the modern era. We went from the pre-modern era to the post-modern era. And there are arguments in favor of that. Other people have said, no, there is such a thing as modernity in Latin America. And yes, although many little townships in the midst of the countries didn't have the full impact of modernity, all of Latin America, the Caribbean, and Central America did have that kind of impact. My proposal is, a third way, is that Latin America and the Caribbean experience modernity through colonialism. Colonialism shaped everyone in America, even the white people who were called Creoles to be distinguished from the Europeans, the indigenous peoples, the African slaves, and those of us like me, miscegenated, people who are of mixed descent. My grandpa, who came from the Canary Islands and has a very discernible Arab ascendancy to him. My grandfather on my mom's side, who was the son of a freed slave, who I met when she was 105 years old. And my grandma on my mom's side, who was the great-granddaughter of a full-blooded Caribbean Indian. So, colonialism shaped us all, and it shaped the experience of people of Latin American background in the States. One of the main problems that you find, main topics of discussion in Europe and in the United States, is what to do with the immigrants. What to do with these people who are taking over our country. The problem is that modernity stated that non-white peoples were naturally, inherently, and even theologically inferior to white people. I don't know how many of you are aware that in 1608, before this country was established, there was a theological meeting in the city of Burgos in Spain. And the main topic was, are the indigenous people human? This was very important. Because if they were indeed human, then Spain could not take over their lands. Because then you get into international law. They were sovereign nations. Now, if they were souped-up monkeys, and there you find the origins of the theory of evolution. Originally, the theory of evolution was devised to explain why you had non-white peoples. The non-white peoples were descendants of the monkey, while the white peoples were descendants of Adam and Eve and Noah. That is why they're called Caucasians, because supposedly Noah's Ark ended up in the Caucasus Mountains. The decision that was taken in that meeting was published in something called Las Capitulaciones de Burgos. And the theologian Luis Rivera Pagan has written about that. There's a book that is called A Violent Evangelism, published by Fortress, and you need to read that. Was that, well, we were kind of human. Yes, we were human beings, but hopelessly impaired forever and ever, in need of the tutelage of the Anglo-European peoples. And therefore, you find the birth of what Rudyard Kipling later on called the white man's burden. Then, slavery was a way of educating the people. And there was another version of slavery called the encomiendas, by which groups of indigenous people were given to Spanish people to Christianize, to evangelize. And, of course, you had to be bonded for life and work for life for free for that person, because that person was giving you eternal life. The problem is that as modernity and colonialism died, the heavy investment of the Anglo-European countries in the Third World meant that we were imported to be cheap labor. We were imported to be part of this country, and therefore we are now here, and Hispanics are the largest minority in this country. Why did modernity die? Well, it died because it had to die. But it died because it was false. Jean-François Lyotard, a French author, wrote in a little book called La Modernité Expliquée aux Enfants, The Modernity Explained to Children, that Auschwitz, Second World War, was the death of modernity. You had the whitest country in the world, with the foremost scientists, with the most important philosophers, committing the most horrible crime in human history. Therefore, the full ideas, the whole ideas on which modernity was constructed were lies. They came tumbling down. When they came tumbling down, colonialism came tumbling down. Lyotard, who is one of my favorite philosophers, defines then modernity as the death of the meta narratives, the master stories that shaped the Western world. Some of them are the supremacy of logic, as we heard earlier on, the white man's burden, colonialism, and Christianity. Because Christianity was a legitimizing master story that basically allowed the Anglo-European peoples to come and conquer America and oppress the indigenous peoples and go to Africa and kidnap scores of people and basically create a world where they were totally dominant. The good thing is that postmodernity also implies the affirmation of the micro narratives or the hidden stories of the minority groups. The problem with this is that what you have is a centerless society. What used to be at the center is not there anymore. And the people who used to be in the periphery, like us, are now moving to the center. But the fact is that the Western society doesn't have a center anymore. There are no values there that are common to everybody. What you have is a fragmentation of society. For a church like ours, this is a big problem, because most of our church is of Anglo-European descent. So you were used to be at the center of society. You're not anymore. For minority groups, it's like, well, what else is new? We have never been at the center. So welcome to the periphery. Because the main problem that America has is that in a centerless society, nothing is dominant. Christianity is not the majority religion in America anymore. If you ask me, practical atheism is the main religion in this country. Even people who go to church and tithe are practically atheists. God has no place in their lives unless it is just some sort of psychological psychobabble. The point is that This is not going to stop. Christianity is going to be a minority religion. And to be a Christian would be to be a minority person in this country. And to follow Christian values will put you in a direct conflict with society. Now, how do you live there? Well, African Americans and Asian Americans and Hispanics and Native Americans, we're kind of used to it. We are not expecting to be at the center. We know that we are in the minority. We know that we are to be hated by some people just because of who we are. Now, for Christianity as a whole in America, that is very tough. When your child goes to school and she is not allowed to talk about Christmas because that's religious. And the fact is that this is not going to stop. So, preaching in postmodern times, the main problem is, how do you preach to a centralized society? And how do you preach from a minority perspective? Now, I want to give you three very quick examples of a centralized society. First of all, we live in a society of spectacle, where the culture of celebrity is everything. People don't know who their neighbor is, but they know who is the latest lover of Paris Hilton. Hyper-reality. That is the contribution of Marc Auger, who is a French anthropologist, to this discussion. We live in a society where we cannot distinguish between reality and fantasy anymore. So we live in places that are really non-places. We are right now in one of them. A hotel is a non-place. It looks like a real place, and people talk to you as if it's real, but you know what? It's all fantasy. They're only talking to you because you're paying to be talked to back. So you have a room that kind of looks like your room. You have a bed, which is much better than yours. And you have a TV set where you find your virtual friends. And you can watch Katie Couric at 7 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter in which time zone you are. Although she's not really speaking to you at 7 o'clock in the morning. We cannot distinguish anymore between fantasy and reality. You go to Walmart. They have an older person there who's paid to make you feel at home. Welcome to Walmart! So you feel kind of at home. You even go to an ATM machine, and the ATM machine says, welcome, Jimenez, Pablo A. But it's all false. We are going to spend a week here. And you know what? Most of the people who will be speaking to us in this great assembly are being paid to talk to us. It's not real community. It's just false. And this problem of not distinguishing about simulacra, the drill rehearsal, and reality, and this issue about how to preach in non-places, and this problem of how do you try for your church not to become a non-place where all the transactions are really false because you just want more members. How do you preach to a centerless society? I think that that is the biggest challenge that postmodernity is presenting to the church right now.